It's about time to start this morning, on this cold, brisk morning. We're going to be on Lesson 5, but before we begin, we want to go in prayer. I'd like to ask Bruce if you would lead our minds in prayer, please.
God, our most righteous and heavenly Father, we come to you at this time. Thank you so much, Lord, for this another day that we have here on this earth that you have provided us with. We pray that we will take this special day, this first day of the week, as we come together to learn more about thy word and to study about digital dangers, Lord, that as we go through this, that as young people all the way to those that are older, that as we learn more and more about these digital dangers, that we will pass these on to others as we continue to go through our life. As we know, Lord, that technology will continue to grow and the dangers from these things will also. We pray, Lord, that you will be with the teacher that as he continues to teach this, that Kevin will have a ready remembrance of those things as prepared, and that we will, like I said, take these things and apply them to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Looking at the schedule of what we have coming and coming, I have a good 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks on the next lesson, and 1 to 2 weeks on the last lesson. So looking at a calendar, that puts us almost right to the end of the year. We might be 1 or 2 Sundays before the end of the year, but sorry. Eddie's like, "You said you're going to try to push it to the end of the year. Can you go more?" I don't know about that. But so I think we're going to be right ending right just before Christmas or right after. I can't. It just depends on how much discussion and in-depth we go next week and the week following. So I enjoy your all's feedback in class and after class. Many times people will send me something in an email or a Facebook message or a text saying, "Hey, I found this," or "This is a good point," or "I wish we would have had this meme to throw up during class about digital dangers." And sure enough, last week was the same thing. And so I usually try to incorporate it in the next lesson or a following lesson. And someone shared on Facebook about additional apps that have chat features or that sexual predators use to gain communication with people. And I know you can't hardly see that. We talked about Whisper. There's one called Scout, Grindr. We talked about Omegle and Tinder. There's Chat Avenue, Chat Roulette, Wishbone, Live.ly, Musical.ly. Musical.ly, it promotes itself as being pretty much a karaoke on your phones and stuff, but it actually has other features as well that have been twisted and used for sexual predators. Pawtalk, Yubo, Kick, Hot or Not, Down, Tumblr. And then the chat features and games include Discord, Minecraft, and Fortnite. And there's others as well. I'm not saying those, like I said, there is a good sense of the app. But as parents and adults, we need to know the flip side of that as well and the dangers that can be associated with those and the chat features, especially because I mentioned when we were talking about the chat feature, I mentioned what happened to my niece, so I won't rehash that. But so there are a few more apps to watch out for. So now we're going into Lesson 5. Lesson 5, music, TV, and movies, how those can be digital dangers in our lives. I started out the lesson in question number one, by asking, what does Proverbs 4:23 say about our hearts and our minds? What do we need to do with our minds or our hearts? Guard them. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. We must guard our hearts. In the technology field, there's a phrase called GIGO, and it is an acronym for garbage in, garbage out. And it means if you are coding something and your code is garbage, what's the end product, the app, going to be? Garbage. And the same is true with the computer processor of our mind. You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well, but I just want you to think about that. You put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. That's why we must keep our hearts with all diligence. Because if you're keeping with all diligence, out of it, it's going to spring forth righteousness. All those good and pure things we talked about in our first lesson that we're supposed to be meditating on. Any questions or comments on that before we dive in a little bit further? I just wanted to use that as the springboard. So now, let's consider music. And I asked you all to look at a few passages. Oh, before we get to that, if you look up, if you do any research about music and the Christian, you're going to find this article by Al Minconi. Al Minconi produced an article, and it was called Breaking Moral Barriers, One Song at a Time. And it goes through the ages from 1964 to 1998 and shows how the decline of songs have been in the music industry. And it'll start with 1964, the Beatles sang I Want to Hold Your Hand. Rolling Stones in 1967, Let's Spend the Night Together. Rod Stewart, Tonight's the Night. Olivia Newton-John, Let's Get Physical. George Michael sang I Want Your Sex in 1987. Color Me Bad, 1991, I Want to Sex You Up. 1994, Nine Inch Nails sang a song with very explicit lyrics, and I would blush to put them up on the screen here. So I just said that's very explicit lyrics. And then also Janet Jackson sang Tonight's the Night, 1998. We could also go to I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, Katy Perry, and so many others in more recent years. But you should see the decline of that. And you're like, well, that's rock and roll and everything like that. And a 2011 survey found that country music is the main genre with any songs about God, faith, and family. But if you listen to many country songs today, alcohol, adultery, fornication are also rampant in all the songs today. So again, we must guard our hearts and our ears. And many have, let me take another slight tangent. I meant to mention this in our introduction lesson. And an introduction to this lesson as well. All these PowerPoints, I'm just making one huge PowerPoint, and I'll have it available to either send email or as PDF, email as PowerPoint, or I can print if you need that as well. So I can get you all these notes that I have. So back to the music. So if you try to seek what genre is the best one to listen to, well, they all have issues other than if you go to classical or things like that. Now, I'll get into some music tips in just a little bit, tips about music. But what does Ephesians 5, 3-4 say? Ephesians 5, let's turn there and read. Ephesians 5, 3-4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And I want to point out that we must ensure that the music we listen to shares our Christian values and is not putting that garbage and thought into our lives. We know in Galatians 5, and we studied this heavily last year, but in Galatians 5 we have the fruits of the Spirit and also the works of the flesh. And starting in verse 19 of Galatians 5, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So in these verses we see what the works of the flesh are and what the fruit of the Spirit is. And we must be testing our music, the music that we listen to, against those principles. And then I had you, the last passage I had you all look at in this question was Mark 9. Mark 9, we're going to look at 43, 47, and 48. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We need to make the same application as well to our ears. And then question number three took us all the way back at the very beginning to the first lesson that we talked about. Going back to lesson one and how we spend our time, how do Philippians 4 verse 8 and our music choices affect each other? Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we need to be meditating on those things and not things that go against that, not listening to and having that garbage that goes against that come into our lives. So before we end up the music section, I mentioned I had a few tips on what you can do to help you do this. Yes?
Also, we're told that a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And I'm reminded of, really goes back to high school, where I had a chemistry teacher showed that a pure glass of water, but if you put one drop of arsenic in that water, it's now toxic, it's deadly. And so the same applies to us today. We have to stay as far away from this kind of nonsense. Now, we grew up in the early 60s, the beginning of the rock and roll, you know, and it's, you know, we were in that atmosphere and the start of that. But look where it's taken us. And even a song today I heard on the radio someplace, it says, "I'm in love with your body." And it just some of these songs, especially these rap songs that you can't understand, I can't understand that. They're even far out and much worse than that. I mean, they just get graphic. So what we as Christians have got to do, as you implied here, is just to not even put a toe into that, not even, you know, stay as far away from it as you can, just like Joseph did. You run away from it if you have to.
And I'm going to say, I am not perfect. I'm teaching this to myself as well. Our new van had Sirius XM, so I've been had it on Garth channel, and it was decently well. And then all of a sudden, there's some questionable songs, and even in the title, one came on, and it was just the instrumental introduction to the song. And Andrew said, "Dad, this song title has a bad word in it. I look over, I'm like, yep, change channel. And then I just went up to, I think I went to the spa music is what I ended up being on. But I would not recommend that if you're going on long trips, okay? You might get a little too relaxed driving. So, some music tips, tips about music. Listen to CDs or MP3s of sermons. If you're going go on a big long road trip, I know someone from Hebron Lane that when they were going to go up on a long road trip, they'd actually go to ask the person who made the CDs if they had any spare CDs, extra CDs, because we always would run a full load of seven. The duplicator made seven CDs, so if anybody requested a CD, there was always seven of those CDs made, and then whenever Ron went to the Philippines, he would take the CDs with him that were left. But we had a person going on road trips, he would always ask the person making the CDs, do you have any extra? And he would just pop those in and listen to the sermons as he did the road trip. There are also some great music CDs, or we have hymns for worship training CDs. I've actually listened to. They'll go through and they'll sing the first song, the first verse of the song all together, the melody like we did at the last song leading, the singing training, the learning new songs, where it's all together, and then you'll sing the next part in all the parts where you could hear the parts. There's also a group called Narrow Way, which is four men, I believe it is, that it's a cappella. They do this, do all four parts. Or if you want to get even more technical, there's a cappeldridge, who's one person who dubs over himself and sings all the parts of the song. And there's also Florida College CDs, the Florida College Chorus, and Halal. I'll suggest those, but I'll put a little asterisk next to those because some of the versions of those songs have a soloist to it, and it can imply, if you like that solo tune, the soloist tune, it can, you can have the urge or to either hear it or sing it during the worship service as well when the parts are not in the song. So I suggest those as well, but with an asterisk next to them. Or if you have a newer vehicle and it has built-in apps, you can use Spotify, and you can look up either any of those that I've listed, and I'll bring up Alcapeldridge again. And what I found interesting is, other than his latest CD about the Messiah's birth, where he sings hymns about the Messiah's birth, not to be released at Christmas time, but he is just, many people are asking for a CD of that, but all of his other CDs, his first CD is Whatever is True. His second CD, Whatever is Noble. His third CD he just released, Whatever is Just. And again, he just goes, he sings hymns, and many people on Facebook have probably seen, if it been shared before, he sends videos of himself, and it's four squares, and each of those four squares, it's him, but he's singing the different parts. So those are just a few tips that I have, or just turn it off if you. Sometimes the best thing to do in the car is not to listen, not to put things in, but to rather pray and just talk to God in prayer. So I'll leave those to you. Any comments about music other than what I've already mentioned, or comment about it? Jacob?
I was just thinking back to the passage in Mark 9, verse 42. I think that the whole this context, I mean, there certainly is a like you said, application for us to make to ourselves, but even the influence that we're having upon others, just in this whole discussion of social media. I mean, we've talked about that a lot for us as parents and children, you know, what our children see us watching or listening to, see us spending, you know, all day on our phones or whatever it is, but even just us Christian to Christian, you know, and Jesus is making the point here, if we cause another Christian to stumble, by our influence, and perhaps we don't even know that, or we don't think about that. We think sometimes, you know, hey, I'm strong enough to deal with this. I mean, that's the devil talking to us. And really, if we're listening to lyrics that are not putting godly thoughts in our minds, we need to to get that out of our life as well. We're not really strong enough, but there's still the point to be made about the influence we have, you know, on others. When another Christian, you know, comes over to our house, and maybe we have some kind of music playing, or we sit down and watch a movie, something that we think is not going to bother us may be very much a hindrance to them. And so we need to be careful and thoughtful of one another.
Good point. Very good.
Just learn to enjoy classical music. It's nonverbal. It's good music.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I went to U of L, and many nights I just went to sleep. I'm not saying it put me to sleep, but I'm just saying listening to their classical station. Yeah, actually,
I got hooked on it because in high school I took a college class, college credit class on music appreciation, and that was what we had to do. We had to listen to it and actually write papers about a song that we heard a particular night. So, yes, classical music, love it. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Moving on. I then mentioned Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's go ahead and turn there. We've mentioned it a few times in other lessons, but again, we need to bring it to the front of our minds. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We must guard ourselves against the influences of wickedness. Because again, as it says, as he thinks in his heart, and we've already said, keep your heart with all diligence. And Paul kind of repeats that same thing. What does he say in 2 Corinthians 10:5? The last part of that verse. It says, actually, I'll just read the whole verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought must be kept brought into captivity. We must keep every thought captive. Take every thought captive. And I really like verse 4 as well, where I'm going to talk about this again, Lord willing, next week. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That word strongholds, we don't really use that much today. But a stronghold is usually a weapon cache, or there's also what's called footholds. What are footholds, Kevin? You know what footholds are? What are they?
Where you can put your feet to advance forward, whatever way you got to go, up, sideways, mostly used for climbing.
Climbing, yes. Or also
our history buff and D-Day, when they stormed the beaches of Normandy, they were creating footholds all along the way, pushing in further and further and further. And that's the same thing as we mentioned. We don't want to get the toe in the door. We want to cast down those strongholds and footholds to where the devil does not have any foothold in our life. Matthew 5, 21, 22. You've heard said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Dropping down to 27. You've heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So in these verses, as we mentioned before in the lesson about modesty, it was all about the actions before, but then now in the New Testament, he's getting to the core of the matter, to the heart of the issue, and saying, even if you have that hatred in your heart, or you have that lust in your heart, we must guard about even thinking about sin, hate and lust. We must get those thoughts and cast those thoughts out of us and taking every thought captive. The next question on the next page, let me turn there. I say, how does Matthew 15:19 compare with most top-selling video games today? Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. I mentioned verse 19. How do the things of that verse compare with video games, the top-selling video games today?
They shoot them up, kill them, and just about many teenagers are playing them every day.
Steal a car, go down to a red light district,
pick up prostitutes, kill prostitutes, gain points for killing prostitutes, gain points for hitting people crossing the roads, and so much more. Again, there are other video games as well, but I just picked that one since it carried through most of those things. And I'll add to it, kids imitate what they see or playing video games, as has been seen. I'm not going to say all kids imitate, but some kids imitate what they see or play in video games, and it does have an impact on their thoughts. It actually helps to reprogram how they view society. We talked about when we were talking about Facebook and social media, how that has an impact on how they are socially as well. This helps to reprogram it as well. So they imitate what they see or play in video games, and I'll get into that in a little bit more. Let me see here. Let me find out where it is. Oh, next page. So we're doing good. Next question I asked, what are we to imitate according to 1 Corinthians 11:1? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he wrote to them, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. Then in 1 Peter 2:21, Peter writes, for to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. We need to follow the example that Christ left for us. Also, 1 John 2:6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we need to use Christ as the example to follow and imitate. Or if we need even simpler and plainer language, I'm asked, what does 3 John 11 say we are to imitate? 3 John 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So if we had to boil that down to two words, what would it be? Imitate God or imitate good? So yes, imitate God and imitating good. So those verses are what we are instructed to imitate. And now, as with each section and each lesson I've been given, I go through that to then give some tips as well. Restrict screen time and video game usage to a time limit. We talked about how you can do that in apps on tablets or on cell phones through parental settings. You can also just tell them they have so long to do so and enforce that. Also, know what your children are playing, even if that means, parents, you have to learn how to play the games yourselves. Trust me, it's kind of hard sometimes. I'm going to tell you that. And even coming from, what am I called now? The Xennial generation, the cross between Gen X and the Millennial generation. sometimes it's tough, even for me, to follow along with the some of the games out there, but we need to know what our children are playing. Now, moving out of the video game realm to the TV and movie realm. I then ask question number 7 about our influence, and I turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. What does this say about our influence? I know this is a little roundabout way of going at asking this question.
A major part of your wealth.
Yes. Our influence
or our good name should be a good part of our wealth. It's better than precious ointment. Whoops. I didn't go in and change the order of the slides. Then Proverbs 22 repeats that. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So a good name is even better than great riches. And then I ended that with 1 Peter 4. I tried to keep going through both old and new to show you. It's not just Old Testament philosophy. It's also repeated in the new. 1 Peter 4, 4 and 5. In regard to these, they think it strange you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Our friends should notice a difference between us and others in the world. Whether we grew up in the world and we become Christians and we're putting off those worldly things, or if a friend has worldly and Christian friends, they should see a stark difference between the two. Then I mentioned we should strive to keep a good name for ourselves and our family, good names rather than precious ointment. In Proverbs 22:1 as well, good names even better than great riches. A study showed by the Alan Guttmacher Institute that high school teenagers will have spent about 15,000 hours in front of a TV, while only 11,000 hours in the formal classroom. So 4,000 more hours in front of a TV than in a classroom. And college students, it said during that time of that study, watched about 5.5 to 8 hours of TV a day. So a typical teenager logs more than 7 hours a day and more than 50 hours a week glued to a television, computer, or cell phone. In light of that, let's consider the following Bible verses and what they say about our use of time. And again, I've re-emphasized what we studied in our first lesson about being good stewards of our time. What does Psalm 89:47 say about time or life? Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created for all the children of men? This goes well with what we're going to be studying in Ecclesiastes as we go through it, talking about the brevity of life and serving God in our youth. But we may need to remember how short our time truly is. And then Ephesians 5:16. Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we need to remember how short our time truly is, and we need to redeem the time. We need to remember our life is just as a vapor, as it says in James 4:14. But that does not mean we cannot enjoy life and enjoy our youth. In fact, Ecclesiastes 11:9 tells us that we can. First part of Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. So yes, we can enjoy our youth. However, I stopped that reading that verse a little too soon. But know for all these, God will bring you into judgment. So yes, we can have fun in our youth, but remember, we will be judged for our actions. And watching TV, we won't need to remember garbage in, garbage out. A great example of this is that you are impacted by what movies and what shows you watch. If you were to ask me last week into how I told somebody that I needed something done quick, I would say I need it done ASAP. Now that I've been watching a certain TV show, I would not say ASAP. I would say I need it forthwith. And just a simple change like that. And Christina called me out on it last month. And I'm like, yep, that's true. And that'll go great in this lesson. Jim.
In Ecclesiastes 11:9, talk about let your heart hear you. The book of Ecclesiastes carries thoughts all the way through the book. They're not just isolated things like in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 7, verse 25 tells us what kind of heart should cheer us or guide us. It says, I turned about and my heart was set to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the reason of things. That is the type of heart in chapter 7 that's to guide youth in chapter 11.
Good point. And I'm sure you're going to get to it, but, you know, as parents, you got to watch what your kids, because even with the TV, you may have a guard on the TV in the home, but there is a TV app on all cell phones. Example, yesterday, Dina and I were deer hunting. We're out in the middle of the field in a tree stand, and I was live streaming the Alabama football game. And you can access absolutely anything. And I told her it's really good to be a deer hunter in 2018. I don't have to miss my, football games even when I'm in a tree stand. But that made me think later on, you know, as parents, how many parents let their kids take their phones to bed with them? What a temptation not only to watch TV, but those games. And I know a lot of kids at school whom we teach. That's exactly what they do when they go to bed. They're up late playing on their phones and their parents don't even know it. It's just that as parents, you have to be very watchful. And again, I've said it many times, even in this class, Reagan was right. You trust but verify. And as parents, that's what you have to do.
Sure. And also as parents, you have to watch these kids because after they're watching these games, they become these games. And then the game's not good enough, they got to go out and do it in real life. And that's really all influencing on what you're watching.
Thinking about verse 10 here, Ecclesiastes 11. He goes on to say, remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. You know, a lot of these verses we read this morning, what we see and what we hear can either help us or hurt us as we do war against Satan. And Solomon here is encouraging, especially young people starting out in life, don't start out putting a lot of obstacles and challenges in your life. I mean, make wise choices. I think that relates to talking about all the media influences that we have. Life is hard enough. It's hard enough to be a Christian when we're trying to feed our mind with the Word of God every day and trying to walk the Christian walk without having all these other things in our life to weigh us down. So, you know, like Sharon said, grief, anger, pain, those things are in video games, in a lot of movies, music today, and not just, what she said, not just getting those things in our mind, but then wanting to act out those things in our life.
Good comments, good tips.
Now, as Eddie mentioned, I'd probably have a few tips as well about TV and movies. VidAngel for viewing shows or movies. I got 5 minutes and I'm going to take advantage of all 5 minutes. So, VidAngel for viewing shows or movies. It can filter TV shows and movies that are streamed from Netflix, Amazon, HBO, and etc. And I've just included some screen grabs from VidAngel. This particular movie that I grabbed has a few other elements or human functions, medical. It has 5 blasphemous language, 9 childish language, 7 sexual references or innuendo, 10 qualify under the example qualification, the classification of sex, nudity without sex, 26, immodesty, 8, kissing, 2, violence, blood, gore, 63. And I ask, where do you think that would fall on the rating scale? G, PG, PG-13, R, or NC-17? PG-13, PG-13, anybody? NC-17? What if I told you, and if when I show you what the classifications are, you're going to be like, really? That's getting that granular? But that is a PG movie. More importantly, you're going to laugh at this and kind of roll your eyes when I show you what the movie is. Trolls. Trolls. And I just, you're like, okay, what in the world could be that 10 in sex and sexual suggestiveness be? And in VidAngel, every time you see one of these little cameras with the play button, you can actually click that, it'll cross it out, and when you watch the movie, you'll not see that scene. So you can actually shorten the movies, removing all these things. So, for instance, I'll just pick a few of these 10. A female creature strikes a suggestive pose, and a male creature gawks at that female creature. A female creature moves her hips suggestively, and then an image shows a woman pressed against a man's body. An image shows a man who's pressed against her body, against a man with her leg on his torso, and on and on and on. So we could go through each of these things in settings. You can uncheck what you don't want to hear and don't want to watch of that movie, and then watch the remaining clean version on VidAngel. You might say, well then, okay, that's good for things on Netflix, Amazon, and HBO streaming and everything like that, but what about movies? Oh, yes.
Watching that on a cartoon, what does that suggest to them which is acceptable? And so you may think that watching Trolls or a movie like that, nothing's going to be in it, and then you look at something like this and you kind of roll your eyes, well, it's just a cartoon movie. But what does that teach an impressionable child at a very young age that's watching it as to what is acceptable for adults or for people to do? That's a very dangerous teaching usage by Satan, I think, for our young people, as you were talking about hardwiring your minds.
Very good point there about.
Imitate that and say, hey, mommy, look what I saw on the movie. But again, I mentioned that was all about the streaming, but what about movies that are out in the movie theater right now? I used to use a site called screenit.com. They then got bought out, and their site required paid membership, and the review of the movies kind of went downhill, in my opinion. So now I use a site called kids-in-mind.com, and it gives you a 1 to 10 rating for sex and nudity, violence and gore, and language, and then it'll list out why it gave those particular things. And I pulled that Trolls movie as well, and it shows a 2 for sex and nudity, a 3 for violence and gore, and 2 for language. And again, it'll say, under language, it'll say what those terms are or a description of those terms and give some examples of those. So you can know what's in the movie. Anna? Or? Yes, pluggedin.org is another great resource. Kevin?
Certain companies lean to one direction, other companies lean to others. Like the Trolls movie is DreamWorks. Well, right off the bat, you knew DreamWorks has that, because every DreamWorks movie ever made is not G. They're all PG. I don't know if they've ever made a G one. And even G is a whole different rating than it used to be. But some of that is kind of good to know ahead of time if you're you know, especially if you're dealing with the little ones.
Very true. And ended up asking question number 9, how can you use Psalm 101, 1-4?
In man-to-man TV movies we watch, again, we'll get into this verse as well in the next 3 weeks talking about pornography. But I put a picture up here about what this person had put on their wall. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, Psalm 101:3. Just let that sink in and reflect on that, that we should not set any wicked thing before us, either our eyes or our ears. Thank you all for your comments and questions.